You are listening to the Wells Tech Podcast, where we talk about technology that can serve the church and its work of spreading the gospel. Wells Tech is a part of the Podcast Network on Streams, the internet media site sponsored by the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Join the conversation by visiting our podcast website at wellstech.wells.net. You're listening to the Wells Tech Podcast for Wednesday, June 16th, 2010. This is episode 136, Wells Tech Road Trip, Aurora, Colorado. It's time again for another edition of the Wells Tech Podcast. I am Martin Spriggs and joined, as usual, by Sally Draper. Good morning, Sally.
Good morning, Martin. I am excited about this week's show. I've got my virtual bags packed and ready to head out on a Wells Tech road trip.
The Wells Tech road trip. Yeah, a little bit lighter fare this summer. It'll be an abbreviated show. It's kind of like, you know, when you go with the lighter beers over the summer, like Miller Lite or the Special Blends. It's kind of Wells Tech light.
Wells Tech light, but loaded with lots of good stuff nonetheless. And I'm excited about all the destinations. Too bad we don't have real tickets to fly and see all these good folks and all their locations. But through the wonders of technology, we're going to take our listeners on a tour all over the country, actually, and going to get started by heading to the Denver area today.
Yes, Aurora, Colorado. We had a chance to talk with Dan Numanson, who actually is not in Aurora. He's right here in Milwaukee. But Liz Cielo is at New Beginnings Home for Mothers. And they're using some interesting technology to do long-distance counseling. Now, in the past, we've talked to Dan Numanson from Wisconsin Lutheran Child and Family Service about some of their video conferencing technologies and how they're using that to serve the Lord and the Lord's people through distance counseling. Their counselors are hooked up via video and audio conferencing, and they've taken that and kind of varied that a little bit and now use it on a regular basis with the residents there at New Beginnings.
Yeah, just amazing to see God's people using technology in this way and being able to connect, you know, things that weren't possible even a year or two ago, mm-hmm. and how easy and simple it is to get started in all these different settings, you know, not just the traditional congregational settings, but lots of offshoot settings as well.
Right. So let's go to Aurora, Colorado, and listen to Dan and Liz talk about video conferencing technology, the first stop on the Wells Tech road trip. Joining us today, and we're very happy to have a couple guests joining us from different parts of the country, in fact, from right here in the local southeast Wisconsin area and with Wisconsin Lutheran Child and Family Service is Dan Numanson. Good morning, Dan.
Good morning.
And we also have Liz Cielo from, I believe, I'm probably going to guess the wrong city. Is it Boulder?
No, it's Aurora.
Aurora. Okay, which is a suburb of Denver, correct?
Correct, yep.
Okay, at least I got that part right. So Liz Cielo from New Beginnings, thank you very much to both of you for joining us. And maybe to just get us rolling, because you are the first stop in our Wells Tech road trip, just maybe introductions are in order. Maybe starting ladies first, Liz, if you wouldn't mind giving us a little bit of overview of who you are and what you do.
Sure. I am Liz Cielo. I am the home manager at New Beginnings, a home for mothers, which is a transitional program for first-time single mothers, which houses six women and their one child for a year to get back on their feet.
Very good. And Dan, yourself?
Dan Numanson. I work for Wisconsin Lutheran Child and Family Service, licensed professional counselor, been here since about 1999. I coordinate a program called the Member Assistance Program, where we provide video-assisted counseling to Wells members around the country, including the accessibility there at New Beginnings.
Very good. So that's really what we're interested in talking about, and that was an item that we'd actually talked to you about oh, maybe a year or so ago, and now we've got some more history with it, and some very positive, I think, you know, from what I'm hearing, very positive feedback. So maybe, Dan, just to refresh our viewers, or listeners, I should say, about the program from the technology side, what's all involved?
Well, it's the program just in general. You know, what we have traditionally done for the past 40 years is offered counseling, Christian counseling services in person at one of our offices in Wisconsin. And obviously our Wells members are scattered throughout the country. With the advent of a variety of technology items, we are now able to provide video-assisted counseling to our Wells members, and we work through a Wells congregation and that person's pastor. The equipment, the technology that's used, it's basically video conferencing. More and more people are becoming quite familiar with Skype and using those types of functions. We use a particular software called Nephsys video conferencing, and it's proven very, very effective. One of the main concerns was encryption, privacy, confidentiality of the information shared between the counselor and the recipient of the services, and Nephsys does guarantee that encryption. Otherwise, you know, it's really just a standard PC monitor, webcam that one would have. Most webcams have an integrated microphone, or you can wear a headset if you feel more comfortable. But really, Martin, the availability of this is just tremendous now. When we first started the program back in, even did some trials back in 2007, not too many people were quite comfortable with video conferencing yet, the few, but more and more people now. I don't think you can buy a laptop without an integrated webcam in it now. So we're finding that more and more people just are connecting from home using their own equipment.
That's great. And obviously, Liz, you're connecting from there in Aurora, Colorado, and reaching across the country to the Milwaukee area to bring some counseling services to these new moms that are part of New Beginnings Home. So maybe you can give it to us from your perspective, from a user of the system. You know, what did it take to get up and running with it? Did you encounter any challenges with the technology, that kind of thing?
Definitely Dan can lead off on that one because he was here when it was installed. I was not.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that was when we first started, I actually went to New Beginnings, and there was a huge problem. I went there with a PC that I had boxed up and packaged all perfectly and shipped it via UPS, and when we got it there, opened up the box, it was in pieces.
Had
to go to the local Best Buy and just purchase a PC. But really, that was our only technological challenge, is that initially what we had gone there with was destroyed, and we needed to get a replacement quick. But otherwise, you know, PC, hook the monitor up, throw the webcam on, and away we went.
Very good. And as far as using it, I don't know how often you make use of the service, Liz, but, you know, do you encounter any challenges now as you're, you know, tuning in for counseling or whatever the process is?
Sure. We definitely use it, I would say, anywhere from 2 to 4 times a week, I would say, for about an hour each time. The problems that we have would probably just be with the connection, would be if there's bad weather out here. And that's just because of the internet connection. Otherwise, it tends to work just fine.
And how have the users reacted to this kind of communication? I assume it's new to some of them.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it's definitely completely new to most of them here. They love it. They definitely enjoy the experience of getting to meet with the Christian counselor on a weekly basis, if that's their choice, and a lot of them do use the opportunity to do so. And I've asked that before about it, if it's any different, if they feel different about it instead of meeting with a person face-to-face, and they say that they feel no difference.
So what would happen if this weren't available? So if this technology weren't in place, what would the other options be?
other options previously for us here that there was a counselor who was just hired by New Beginnings and worked on site.
Okay, so now you don't have that person?
No.
Okay.
Nope. And actually, I would say this probably works better because, you know, they have multiple counselors that our residents are seeing, and sometimes you don't have the right fit with just one person. Mm-hmm. And so there are different personalities that are able to be matched a lot easier with the service.
Okay, good. So do you have a specific room set aside, kind of a counseling room or a quiet corner or, you know, some kind of private area where this is just set up for use?
Yep. Yep, it's in an office. It had its previous room before. We're getting the computer fixed, issues with their computer at this point. But, yep, they have their own private room closed off towards anybody, and it's just them and the counselor in that apartment.
Yeah,
Martin, what's kind of nice about the service is that when an organization partners with us, like New Beginnings, and they hook up a webcam in a room, it's basically like having your choice of 12 different therapists right there on site.
Mm-hmm.
And depending on the presenting problem, we can assign them to the counselor that has extensive training or expertise in that area instead of relying just on one person to handle everything that comes through the door. So in that case, it's just it's a tremendous benefit.
Mm-hmm. Are there any disadvantages, Dan, that you've seen in this kind of distance counseling or that your counselors have are maybe struggling with? Or is it are they really kind of latching onto this and really making use of this?
Yeah, as far as on our end, our counselors really enjoy it. All of us have gone through certification. It's called Distance Credentialed Counselor, where we're actually trained to provide counseling services by video, and in other distance modalities except face-to-face, other than face-to-face. So they enjoy it. I'd say the one ongoing issue of concern is when we connect with an organization that has really slow bandwidth and mm-hmm. really slow connection. Then obviously the quality of the audio and video aren't going to be as real to life as possible. Usually where we see the problem is in the audio. And so what we do is we make sure that whatever organization we work with, they have a back phone, landline phone, so that if we need to, we can just use the phone for the audio and continue the video through the conference. But other than that, the type of counseling that's provided are the standard Christian counseling. It's all the same, whether it's in person or through video. Big difference with the video is in the initial sessions, what we like to do is make sure people are comfortable with communicating in this manner. Not everyone has done video conferencing before, so throughout the sessions, we like to stop and just check, make sure they're comfortable. If they're not, we would certainly help them find an in-person referral in their area if that's available. I think we have yet to have one person in the last years that we've been providing a service. We've yet to have one person say, you know, this just isn't working for me. I think we need to do something different. That has yet to happen.
Okay, very good. So this sounds like this is the future, and it sounds like it's certainly working in circumstances where you've got a good partner. Like New Beginnings, is there additional cost to this for, let's say, a New Beginnings, other than the cost of the counseling itself? So the virtual counseling component, other than, just obviously the initial capital costs of the PC and obviously their connection, is there a distance charge or a mobile, a virtual charge of some sort that goes along with that?
Nope. The organization's one of the questions that we get quite frequently is, does insurance cover this? And insurance definitely does not. Most insurance companies aren't looking for ways to expand access to healthcare,
right.
and through video or other distance means. So insurance does not pay for this. So it's the organizations that provide the service for their members,
okay,
like New Beginnings and the residents.
Right.
So other than just our standard counseling fees, there are There's no other, like you said, beyond just startup, you know, PC and a webcam. There's simply no other charge needed.
Okay. And Liz, I assume as you get new residents in there, that's a conversation you have early on about, you know, how this all works and that this is available to them.
Yep, we definitely go through that with them. We encourage them to meet at least 3 to 4 times to give it a try, just because I don't think after one time you're going to get the full experience of what it can be. Mm-hmm. And definitely by the 3rd or 4th session, it's not even a question of whether they'll continue or not.
They just stick with it.
Okay. Yep.
That's awesome. Boy, what a great ministry and a great way to use technology. It certainly sounds like a savings, you know, for New Beginnings as well, where you're not having to have a full-time counselor there who would, you know, part of the time not be doing anything or not be at least in sessions.
Right, exactly. Yep. With only 6 residents, it's really not a necessity to have them on site.
Mm-hmm. Right, great. Good. Anything
what's
else
really
you'd
helpful.
Like to share, Liz or Dan?
What's really helpful is the partnership that we have with, in New Beginnings' case, with Liz, so that we can work with Liz and the residents and collaborate on their support and their care. Same thing in a regular congregation when we provide this out of a congregational setting. We're working with the pastor and collaborating the care to provide the assistance.
Mm-hmm.
And that's crucial. I think if this were just offered as an individual, you know, counseling session, you wouldn't have a good of involvement or as good of results as you would in the collaboration that we have. And Liz just does a great job with the residents in general, and the information that we can provide her regarding the residents and what they're working on, their goals that they're moving towards. That's just a benefit to the residents to have that collaboration as well. Yeah,
that's awesome. Well,
I agree 100%.
Good. Certainly know that your synod is very grateful for the services and the ministries that you both are involved with, both very necessary things, and it's great to see two organizations like yourselves working together as they are. So continued blessings on your work together and your work in your locations. Thank you also for a great start to our road trip. Appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much for having us, and have a great time on the tour.
Yep. Yeah, no problem. Thank you. Our thanks again to Dan and Liz for sharing again some of the cool stuff that's possible with video conferencing technology.
Yeah, that member assistance program from Wisconsin Lutheran Child and Family Services is reaching a lot of people, and just a wonderful blessing. I'm sure Liz would totally agree with it there at New Beginnings and also in many other places. So if your congregation or school has a need that this could fill, then certainly check out the links that we'll provide in the show notes.
Great first stop on the road trip. I'm looking forward to the rest. We will still have picks, you know, during the summer. We just can't stay away from our picks of the week because hopefully you love them as much as we love selecting them. So we'll do our picks this summer. We'll do community feedback, but that'll be about it. And then we'll close the show, you know, with music. What's your pick this week, Sally?
Well, this pick is geared toward our teachers and our listening audience, and it's a new ebook that's out created by teacher Michael Zimmer. It's called Tools for the 21st Century Teacher, and you can actually view it online. He's using a tool to display it called Issue, ISSUU. I don't know if you've seen this, but it looks kind of like a scribd kind of display where you can page through the book. It's a real nice display.
Yep.
You can also download it as a PDF, so lots of options there. But I was really impressed because it's not an intimidating book at all. If someone's brand new to 21st century technology and use it in a classroom, I definitely would recommend this as an easy read, loaded with links to help you get started. And he covered a lot of the standard things that we hear about in the Web 2.0 world.
Yep.
You know, Twitter is right there at the top of the list, and connecting with other educational technology oriented teachers that are out there and learning from each other, certainly blogging and making use of RSS readers. That kind of thing is covered in detail in his book. But there were some new tools that I hadn't heard of that he dug into. One is called Quizlet, which allows you to set up flashcards for your students on any different subject. And another is called TitanPad, which is a back channel chat service. So kind of like a private Twitter, if you want to think of it that way. And that's what I'm interested in trying out. And he's got some great resources there to help me get started. So it's probably about a 20-page booklet. And like I said, very non-intimidating. If you have some teacher friends that are looking for a way to get started or just want an easy read to kind of ease them into the Web 2.0 world, I'd highly recommend this ebook, and we'll have a link in the show notes.
Very good. And free, right?
That's right. The price is right.
Okay, sweet. All right. My pick, as some of our listeners are probably aware, I've been doing a lot of traveling lately, and I'm ready to take off on another trip tomorrow, this one out to Arizona, where I'm told the temperature is 104. I am going to be visiting the Arizona-California District Convention. Actually, they're in convention right now, but I'll be doing a workshop on productivity on Wednesday and Thursday. And then Deb and I are going to take a little bit of a vacation after that, drive up to New Mexico. But anyway, so that brings to mind some technologies that are useful when you're on the road, especially in hotel rooms. And a little thing that I picked up not too long ago has been really helpful in some of my recent travels, and that's basically it's an extension cord or a multi-plugged outlet that is made by Monster Cable. And unlike a lot of Monster Cable products, it's not overly expensive. You can, in fact, get this particular thing for about $13 at Walmart or through Walmart online. It's called Outlets to Go 3 USB. So what it is it's about a foot-long cord and a power strip with three outlets on it, plus a USB port on it. So what you can do is plug this in, let's say you're in a hotel room, and invariably you're bringing a laptop or something else, your phone, something else that needs to be plugged in, and you've got no plugs available. And if you do, they're really hard to reach in out of the way places. So this is just long enough to kind of extend the reach of those outlets. It's got a flat mounted plug so that if it's kind of jammed up behind the bed or the nightstand or something, it'll still fit in there. And then you've got three plugs to use and a USB outlet. If you've got, my phone uses a USB charger, or an iPod Touch or something like that will use a USB charger. What's also neat about this little guy is that it is really compact. The cord wraps around the outlet itself or the strip itself and then plugs into one of its own outlets. So it shrinks down to about 5 inches wide by about an inch tall. So it's really compact, fits nicely in the bag. Really is a nice addition if you do any kind of traveling at all. That's the Monster Cable Outlets to Go 3 USB.
So I'm wondering if you're packing a mini-sized fan to plug into one of those plugs to keep you cool out there.
I don't know if a mini-sized fan is going to make much of a dent in 103.
That's pretty warm.
But I plan on staying in the air condition. Santa Fe is much nicer. It'll be in the 80s. You know, that's at about 7,000-foot elevation, but not so in Phoenix. So I'm planning on going from building to car to building.
There you go. Stay cool.
And then getting out of the state. So, all right, let's move to community feedback, Sally.
Yes, sir. We heard from Pastor Rob Gunther. You might remember that we mentioned Pastor Gunther in last week's show because he was looking for a solution for emailing RSS feeds. Mm-hmm. And he wrote to us to let us know that he received his show notes via Feed My Inbox, which was one of the solutions we talked about, and seems very pleased with the service so far. So that's great feedback there. In addition, he had a three-prong kind of email to us where he wanted to share three different things with us, some questions and some recommendations, etc. First up, we talked last week in the show about IWISoft as being an audio and video conversion software that's free. Pastor Gunther says he uses a similar product called Format Factory, and he sent us a link, and we'll include that in the show notes to Format Factory. Just another option for you if you're looking for an audio-video converter software. Next up, he had a question, or actually a suggestion. He says he won't be able to make it to summer quarter, and we talked about the fact last week, Martin, that you're going to be teaching productivity class at Wisconsin Lutheran Seminary summer quarter in the first week of July, and he asked if you might be able to record that class and allow people to even purchase it so that they could do it as an independent study kind of thing. So what's your take on that request, Mark?
Well, that would have to come through the seminary itself, so I'll definitely talk to them. And I know they have some of the equipment there to do that. And, of course, we have equipment here in the center office to do recording, those kinds of things. So I think that's a great idea because I know there are some folks in remote locations that it makes it very difficult to get there. And this is probably not one of those classes you can do online, per se. There's a lot of give and take. So this is best face-to-face. It's about a 10-hour course, something like that. So I think that's a great idea. One thing that I'm thinking about doing, and there's been a lot of interest, and this is one of the reasons I'm going down to Arizona tomorrow, is maybe doing this in some remoter locations, offering this multiple times, not just in Arizona and not just at the seminary, but maybe pick some other spots if there's interest. So maybe that would be something, Rob, that you could maybe float past your district as far as maybe one of your pastor conferences or something like that, and we could present it out there and bring it to the people, so to speak.
Great idea. Pastor Gunther's over on the East Coast in North Carolina. I'm just waiting for the opportunity for Hawaii now. If that comes up,
you're all over that, yes.
Yeah. So that sounds like a great idea. Last question. Pastor Gunther wrote another question. I love my iPhone. It lets me listen to podcasts in double time. So I don't know if you guys are aware of that, but one of the software upgrades in the past was to allow this double time, and you have a little button on your screen that you can press, and it goes to times two.
If you listen to a lot of podcasts, that really comes in handy because sometimes there's a lot of happy chatter that you want to get past and get to the meat. And maybe some folks do that to us, too, where they're listening to us in double time. You know, some of those hour and 15-minute shows we do.
Yeah. So it is a nice feature, and they just sound slightly like chipmunks, just a little bit higher pitch to your voice when you go double time. But it's still listenable if you're,
Yeah, they do a nice job with it.
Yeah. So his question was an interesting one, though. He says when he plays his music, he's not able, that times two button doesn't show up for you on music selections. And he'd like to be able to speed up some things that he's purchased, like audiobooks, where he's ripped them from a CD to his iTunes library, but they're in MP3 format. But iTunes thinks they're music, so he's not getting that double time option.
Yeah, because who would want to play their music in double time, right?
Yeah.
Makes sense.
So, but he's looking for suggestions there, and Martin and I both actually, it's kind of like a race. Who knows how to do this? And we actually both knew the answer to this.
But you're the one that actually looked it up and tried it.
I've got iTunes open on my screen, and what you need to do is actually go into your iTunes library and find that selection, wherever it's located in your iTunes library. And if you right-click on it, the first option is Get Info, which sounds kind of like it wouldn't be editable. But actually, if you go into Get Info, you come up with a screen that has all different options related with that particular file that's saved on your computer. And the Options tab has a drop-down menu that says Media Kind. And as a default, it's going to come up with music, but the other options include podcast, iTunes University, audiobook, and voice memo. So if you just change that media kind to audiobook or podcast, if it was appropriate, then you're going to activate that times two option. The media is going to show up on your iPod in the music, not in the music selection, but in the audiobook selection or in the podcast selection, and you will have the ability to double up the playback speed on that.
Great tip. Great question, because I think that's a really valuable little tool that you've got there.
Hopefully that explanation helps.
Perfect. All right. I think that's the end of community feedback. That's going to be a little bit lighter this summer as well, which is fine. We'll try and keep the shows short and light. And next week, we are going to be traveling where, Sally?
Well, just to a great little place. It's called New Ulm, Minnesota. Don't know if you've ever heard of it, but we're visiting Minnesota Valley Lutheran High School and teacher Heath Dobberpool, who's going to talk to us about their student management system called Infinite Campus.
Yep, so we're going to jump on, I don't know what goes through there. Does 90 go through Colorado? We got to look at it. We got to probably take a little closer look at the map before we travel over to New Ulm. So, But about a day's drive, maybe day and a half over to New Ulm to talk with Heath and about their student information system that they've recently launched. And Sally, you have firsthand knowledge of that as well, as you have a student there, so you've seen and touched it as well. So that'll be an interesting conversation. Let's close the show with the music of Stephen Bautista, Trying to Catch the Wind, from his album Abandon. Thank you for joining us, everybody. We will talk to you next week.
My thoughts race on through a never-ending maze, trying to get my mind around all your wondrous ways, struggling to figure out the mysteries of your plans, finding that I can't grasp what's firmly in your hands. 'Cause I'm out of my element, I'm way out of my league, when I try try in vain to